All right, tonight on your notes, revealing the real treasure. And this is a second part. And I wanted you tonight to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 through 11. And I believe that there's a necessity for us as Christians to point out well who it is that really should be most valuable. What is most valuable? To a lot of Christians, the exterior things are often valuable. And we get that sometimes, I think, from our observations of the culture we live in. We compare ourselves to other people. We sometimes pick up mindsets or ideologies from our culture. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 through 11, Paul tells us something very important. Notice with me 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. This is a mindset about himself. Would you notice with me what he says? 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 9. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, here in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is pointing out that he was a communicator of what? The gospel. At the very beginning of chapter 15, very common passage we'll look at. For I delivered unto you first of all. What does he say? In verse number chapter 15, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. How that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So the truth of the scriptures, that Christ had to die, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. The declaration of the gospel. And he's communicated to them the gospel. But he mentions also that he's spoken this. He was seen, Jesus was seen after his resurrection of about 500 people. He was seen of the disciples. And then Paul speaks of himself as being least of the apostles. Isn't that an interesting expression? If you want people to listen to you in our culture, you almost have to make a big deal about how important you are to be listened to. You ever caught that? You know, people want to know, why should I listen to you? Well, Paul says, I'm least of the apostles. And I think part of that was because of the sectarian type of views people had and still might have about Paul. You know, at the beginning in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about those that say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. Was there some jockeying for who's a better person amongst the people in Corinth based on who they followed after? There was. And that's not very far removed from how people think today. Sometimes today, people get caught up in personalities and who they follow and who's the greatest. And Paul points out further that his view of himself was connected to something he had done before he was saved. What was it that he points out in verse number 9? Because he persecuted the church of God. He saw that he was a persecutor of the church. And then Paul goes on and declares something I think that is important for us to remember. He explains what is a true and important value system, the way that he has operated, the truly valuable thing. Not I, verse 10 says, but who? The grace of God. Not I, but the working of God. And that expression, not I, but Christ, I believe there's a song that we often sing, not I, but Christ. In that expression here, and it's also found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, there's something that has to be observed about that. Either I am the thing to be observed or someone greater. Something greater is to be. And I don't think any of us here believe that the great treasure of our Christian life is us. But I want to ask you tonight to consider, how often do you speak of the one who is? And speak of it in the way that Paul does. Not I, but the grace of God. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know that that's counter to the culture you live in. to say, not me, but let me tell you who. Not I, but God's grace. Not I, but Christ that is living in me. And we live in a time when self-affirmation, self-exalting is at an all-time high level. This morning, I was on the way into church here, and I was listening on the radio, and on the talk radio town, there was something like news channel type thing on, and they were telling this story about a dad and his daughter. And in the story, this dad, I guess he has an Instagram account, and he's got all these people that follow him, but he tells his daughter, who's I think six or something, all right, you can say whatever you want for 20 seconds, and I won't care. And she's apparently speaking to a mirror, and they've got a video camera set up. Now, I didn't see the video, so I'm listening to this. But here's the thing she says, and this is a quote, so don't quote me and cut this out of a sermon somewhere and say, Pastor said all this. Okay, I'm quoting her. Here's what she says. I'm a queen. I'm a young queen. I'm a superstar. I'm a beautiful person. A smart person. I love myself. I'm a Barbie. I look pretty. End of quote. Okay? Now, you're laughing. That sounds cute for a kid to say, perhaps to some. But I want to ask you, does that sound like something a kid came up with on their own? Where does the idea of telling yourself, I am beautiful, I am worthy, I am, where does that come from? I don't think a child comes out one morning and says, you know what, I'm just going to say all these affirming things about myself. Now, get me clear on this. I do not mean you need to put yourself into the gutter and say, I'm a horrible person, I'm awful, I'm such a slum, I'm so horrible person. No. That's not the extreme either, because you know what in both cases you have going on? Pride. One is a pitying kind of pride, and one is, I am everything amazing. Is there another option? Give me option number three. That's what you see in this passage. When we consider our Savior Jesus Christ in the way that Paul talks about the gospel and the way that he presents what is important, what is not important was himself. So in your notes tonight, letter A, denial of self-effort, a not I attitude. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Was there things people remembered seeing Paul doing? Did they see him laboring and active and doing things? Yes. And he had come and ministered to them. But Paul reminds them very, very emphatically, it wasn't me, in some kind of self-effort, self-exalting. And that's a real need for the church in Corinth, because they have had a value system based on who they have followed. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this divisiveness over who was their guy had been really a problem. And Paul says, I had to speak unto you not as spiritual, but as unto carnal, as even babes in Christ, because of your thinking, you've not grown to where you want to. And I'd like to point out this matter of denial of self-effort is an important part for us. John Van Gelderen pointed out last week the example of Christ in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Remember, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That message was a great help. Seeing Christ and the surrendering of ourselves to the power of God. And the latter portion of that passage, Philippians 2:13, says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, if we're going to reveal who really is most valuable, the great treasure of our Savior Christ, we cannot accept credit for that which he does in us. Can I say that again? You can't accept credit for what he does in you. Now you may say, Pastor, I would never take credit for what he has done in me. But why does Paul need to say what he says here? Because other people do give him credit, may think of him as great or as important. We also need to focus on giving him praise. If I'm going to give Christ the praise he is worthy, I have to say, not me at all. Denial of self-effort. Look over at Colossians chapter 1. Hold your place here, and you would probably know well Colossians chapter 1. But I want you to notice this passage, Colossians 1 and verse number 18. I believe we have to often say, you know what? Not my plans, not my will, not my ability, not my time, so that you might see who is the most important. Colossians 1 verse 18 says, "And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the," what's the next word? "The preeminence, the superiority, the place of first place." Okay, if Christ is going to have first place, what can I not have? I can't have first place. And neither can any other person. Okay, people are not to be in the place of first. And one of the best ways we will help others see and value Christ well is when we don't allow ourselves to be exalted in their eyes. Which is why a denial of self-effort is what Paul is saying in front of these people. If you got to meet an apostle, would that be a big deal? Do you think it would have been a big deal to have met an apostle? I don't know that you might. Well, Pastor, I've never thought about it. Well, these individuals who had met apostles might think that they were someone special. I remember meeting well-known preachers when I was growing up. And sometimes people think a lot of preachers as though, wow, that's the man of God. As though someone else is not the man of God. This guy, he's really special. And men can become fixated on. Did you know that? Just as much as people can be of themselves. I'm an amazing person. I'm so great. That denial needs to be set aside. But so does the denial of people that give you praise that isn't yours to take. You know where the praise Paul diverts their attention to? In this matter of self-denial, seeing that Christ must be one that gets the preeminence, he declares, "Not I, but." And so in your notes, not only a denial of self, but here's where we're going to spend a little bit more time, a declaration of God's grace. And I really do think that this is something we can do more of, church, where we speak of the grace of God. Look at verse number 10 again of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And grace, you know, is one of those words that, you know, you need to understand what we're talking about. When we're talking about grace, we're talking about the supernatural enabling of God. Something specially accomplished by God. Something that is a gift from God. It's not something, obviously, that you've earned. I have not earned grace. God gives grace. But he also, in his giving of it, gives it in a super abundant way. A way that is more than you and I could find in any other source. Do you realize that? We have a different clicker up here tonight because the one that we had stopped working from this distance. And I would click at it and it wouldn't work. And the power in the other one, we came to realize, you know what? It didn't have enough strength. Well, you've ever found something to be lacking, not strong enough to work for what you needed to work? The grace of God that has enabled us is more than enough. It is completely able. There's no, you know what, I'm 1 foot short of the distance. It is completely capable of taking care of the need. What is the grace of God and declaring that? What has Paul seen it accomplish in his life? Well, in chapter 15, verse 3, what's the first thing that you see in this passage, even? Paul had seen God's supernatural enablement in saving him from sin's power. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Okay, the gospel that he's declaring is something that he had first recognized his need of. He's received this, that Christ died for our sins. And guess who he's including in our? He died for mine. And so the very first thing is the grace of God for saving a person. You might write in your notes there Ephesians 1:7. Actually, I put it on your notes. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Okay, if you and I are going to reveal the great treasure, is the great riches in our strength or in our abilities? No. No, I have to deny anyone that kind of thinking, and I have to point out the correct view is a declaration, I have received abundant grace. Now, when's the last time you told someone else, I have been the recipient of God's riches of grace? Wouldn't that be a good thing to say? If you found out that pastor had given you a check for $10,000, you might want to tell someone, hey, I'm the recipient of $10,000. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Maybe you could use $10,000. All right. If you knew that it was worth it, you may not know, pastor, is this going to bounce on me? Okay. Is it something that God gives you? Is it going to bounce? Is it a promise that he's going to give you a declaration of, hey, I've got something for you, but it may work or it may not? Of course not. It is sufficient. It is abundant. And it is what you and I needed. And Paul is declaring how he has operated is from not his own strength, but from the grace of God. Let me show you another one. By making him an apostle. In this passage, he speaks of the fact that he was made an apostle, the least of the apostles. But in Galatians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he talks about the fact that both he and Peter's ministry were by the result of God's grace, the empowering of God, making him an apostle. That was also by supernatural enabling. Making him an ambassador of the gospel. He speaks of that. That was by God's enabling. In sustaining him through persecution. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, apart from the being apostle, can you identify with those things on that list? Okay, have you seen God's supernatural enablement to save you from sin's power? Yes or no, church? Have you seen God, by his enabling, make you an ambassador of the gospel? Yes. Have you seen his enablement to carry you through, sustain you through suffering? You say, I don't know that I've suffered much. Well, you may have not given credit where it's due to endure what you've endured up to this point. I really think we take a lot of credit for ourselves that it belongs to the Lord entirely. And it's not as though you go to the mirror in the morning and say, I am a beautiful person. I am talented. I have abilities. I am a worthy person. But if you did not praise God for his enablement, who did you likely think was the source of it? Well, I've got this. Have you ever said that before? I can do this. I got this. This will be easy. You ever said that before? We take a lot of things and say, yeah, I can do it. And we do not give credit. We do not give praise to the one who should be declared as the source of our enabling. The source of our enabling, the declaration of God's grace. You know, if the treasure of Christ is to be seen, we must be ones who communicate who has enabled us. And I'm building again on what we saw last time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that Christ is the treasure and that we are vessels who carry the treasure. We are ones who declare him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But how is he seen out of you if you don't deflect any praise on you or any glory that might be shown to you and put it back on him? And I really believe that that is something that we have to practice. We have to think on. Do you give credit to God's grace? Do you continue to rely on His grace? And I believe the Holy Spirit is the conduit of God's enablement. He really is the one who enables us as believers to accomplish the will of God. It's not like, okay, I'm going to do the will of God today. No, you can't do the will of God apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in you. He's the one that accomplishes what God wants. Are you relying on Him? You know, when I'm not relying on the Spirit, who am I relying in? I'm either walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the... Okay, if I'm walking in the flesh, I'm not giving the praise, the glory, the admiration to what God has enabled me to do. It's not that I can't, it's that I'm not choosing to give the glory, the praise to Him. When I walk in the Spirit, guess what happens? He gets glorified. He gets the praise. And I can take no credit for it. And I know who gets the credit for it. And I praise Him for what He has done. And I would just ask you, when was the last time you made a declaration of your dependence? Not a declaration of independence. A declaration of your dependence. And I'm not meaning a declaration publicly, although Paul's is public. But you know where that declaration should be made? Privately, on a moment-by-moment basis. God, I'm depending on You. God, I see Your grace as sufficient for me. God, I praise You for Your grace in saving me. God, I praise You for Your enabling to make me an ambassador of the gospel to others. That's a kind of a constant declaration. Instead of a standing in front of the mirror and I am, you can say, You are. And God, I praise You for who You are and what You are doing. You know that that's a really valuable mindset to have. And people are able to see the value. They're able to see the great treasure that we have in Christ when we magnify Him in that way. Here's the third thing, all right? In your notes, a division rejected. Now, I've got to be honest with you. When I've read 1 Corinthians 15 before, I've skipped past verse 11 often. And I haven't really noted it as being that important until just reading it more recently. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believed. Now, what's he talking about, whether it were I or they? Okay, what is he in the verses preceding talked about two groups or two sets of people? He was the least of what? All the apostles. So there were those apostles who, in his estimation, were greater, and him who was least. And he says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. Now get this. This is fantastic. You know what Paul recognizes? Paul recognizes that people can get caught up on personalities and not exalting the one who should be exalted. This passage is about the gospel and resurrection, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, you want to know the gospel, it's right there. And you want to know about resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, it's right there. But do you know who Paul, and I believe this is very helpful to us today, and even to those people in that time, do you know where Paul inserts this identification with the rest of the apostles? He inserts it with connection to the gospel. He inserts it with connection to, we're not at odds with each other. We are declaring the same thing. One thing that will cloud people's view of the treasure that is Christ would be division about who is truly one of His messengers. What is the message that they're giving? And I think it's helpful. Look over at 1 Corinthians 3 in verses 1 through 3. Hold your place here and look back at 1 Corinthians 3. Because Paul is dealing with a church that has dealt with division, that's dealt with confusion. And I think that one of the areas that people get confused about is who to follow, personality obsession. And that distracts us from who really must be followed and who must be focused on, which is Christ. It wasn't Peter's gospel. It wasn't Paul's gospel. It was Christ. And he's aiming to keep division out. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So they're believers, but he's having to speak unto them as immature. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Now, he brings up one of the areas of their divisions in verse 4. "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Now, he goes on and look with me at verses 21 through 23. Chapter 3, verse 21. He says, "Therefore, after saying that there's no other foundation that's laid other than what's laid by Christ," he says, "Therefore, let no man glory in," what's the next word? "Men." Don't glory in men. Don't glory in men. "For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas," which, by the way, who would Cephas be? Peter. "Or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." Okay, if you get fixated in on an individual, can you be distracted from the very thing that should be big and exalted? Can that happen? Yeah. Okay, why are you bringing this up, Pastor? Well, in chapter number 15, verse 11, he's just talked about the gospel, and he's talked about the resurrection, and that Christ has been seen, and that he's been declared. And Paul's emphasis is on the glory that is due to Christ, not who the preacher is. And I would point out to you, he's saying that we have said the same thing, both Paul and they. "Whether it were I or they, so we preach." If there was something different that was preached, he would have defined it here. "But so we preach, and so ye believed." Now, here's the great thing to remember. How are people saved? By hearing the word and believing. Now, do you know what needs to be promoted if people are going to be continually saved? And the work of God, the will of God, which is that we be ambassadors of Christ. That the way that you receive the word be the way that you give it. And that you not fixate on people, but that you fixate on the message. Does this make sense? I don't know that this is anything you're going to say, "Wow, Pastor, I never knew this." But one thing that will cloud people's view of Christ is a carnal focus on men. And I think that this happens today. I think it's something that you need to be careful of. That your fixation be on declaring who Jesus Christ is. And that as you go from here, you know, every single one of us are going to talk about something tomorrow. You are. You're going to talk about, "Wow, let me show you what I have done." There's people that do that. There's going to be the, "Wow, I'll tell you how I'm going to do this or that." There's that. Or there's, "God, I'm depending upon you. You've saved me. I've trusted you. Your grace was what saved me, and I'm going to tell others about your grace. And I'm going to expect that others can be saved in the same way. And I'm going to reject anything that divides people from the focus on the gospel. I'm going to divide anything that's fixated on this person or this person or this person. I'm not going to let that be the distraction." When you think of Peter and you think of Paul, were there things that Peter didn't get right away? Yeah, of course. Does Paul deal with Peter in a very gracious way? Yes. In fact, of all the people in the Bible who could have, like, you know, run someone over the coals, Paul could have. But his graciousness helped people see how they should also treat others. I want to have that kind of graciousness. Paul did not seek to make for a following of his own. Paul sought for people to follow who? Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you in the same way. The riches of the glory of this mystery, he speaks of in Colossians chapter 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, that is for every person. That you and I would declare that, that people can be saved, that they can know Christ and keep their focus on Christ. So we preach and so ye believed. And I would hope that you would be encouraged tonight to share the gospel, expecting that people will be saved if we declare the gospel message and reject anything that gets us focusing on personalities. The focus tonight, I know, is a little bit of a familiar one, but if we're not careful, we can exalt ourselves. And I don't want self-exaltation to be something that we get caught up in, where we should be declaring, not I, but the grace of God. Not I, but Christ. And if you get caught up in saying a lot about yourself, you're not talking about your Savior. If you get caught up in talking a lot about what you've accomplished or how much better you are than this person than that. And I'm just going to be candid with you. I grew up and I heard a lot of people talk bad about other people in other churches or other groups. And in essence, what we were trying to do, and I say we, our circles sometimes, was promote ourselves. It was insecurity, perhaps. It was, let me talk bad about them so that I can make you believe that I'm the best. You know what'll exalt the truth the best? Your proclamation of the truth and your exaltation of Christ. And let the Lord be glorified, not you. If people don't follow you and you have the truth, do you think God will be able to take care of that? I think sometimes we have an insecurity that if we don't beat down someone else so that people follow us, that, well, we're not going to have a big crowd and we're not going to have a big following. Leave that in God's hands. In fact, you find if you read Paul, he was not always so concerned about whether people followed him as much as he was interested that people follow Christ. And that kind of attitude is needful. Watch out for the self-promoting. Watch out for the, I got to make someone else look bad so I can look good kind of thing that goes on that doesn't exalt the grace that's been shown to you. And talk of the grace that's been shown to you. I'm not on a grace kick, but I've read over and over in my Bible reading this week, the grace of God. And I've been reminded, you know what? I don't talk about that with my own family or with you as a church often enough. Wow, God has done a lot, and I have much to thank him for. God, thank you. Your grace is what has enabled me. Your grace is sufficient. And I think as you go through this week ahead, be looking for opportunities to declare God's grace. Be looking for opportunities to say, look what God did again. Just Sunday, we had the opportunity to go out to eat, and there was a man that was paying for his bill at the same time I was, and he was dressed sharply, and he said, did you just come from church? And I said, yes. And I said, where do you go to church? And he said, the Kingdom Hall, Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, oh. And he said, yeah, I was from Alabama and knew a lot of people who were Baptist in the past. And we talked for a few minutes. And as we got up to leave, he saw the rest of our family. He said, wow, you've got a really sharp looking family. And I said this, and I'm thankful that I did, but I need to say it more often. That is by the grace of God. People oftentimes will praise you for things that really aren't yours to take credit for. You know, well, yes, of course, they're a wonderful looking family. Yes, they are. I'm grateful to God for my family. But do you know who should get the most praise for that? The God who has been gracious and who gave his son to die for me and enabled Lindsay and I to know what it is to live in his grace and to live to praise him, not ourselves. Did I get a chance to say that to all this guy? No. But I did get to tell him, it's by the grace of God. I can't take credit for it. And you know what, church? You have a lot you could praise God for, right? And you can't take credit for it. And if you could, you would not be looking to the Savior. You would not be praising him. You would not be exalting him. So let's do this as we close tonight. Why don't you praise God for a couple of things that you know are by his grace, his enabling, and his alone. And commit to sharing that with someone else. Not in a boast of, wow, look at me, but a boast of God and His grace and His working in your life. Father, would you please help us as a church to speak much of you and to not accept, to not indulge ourselves in praise that belongs to you. Lord, would you help us to deny self-effort as the result or the cause of anything in our lives? God, we are entirely dependent upon your Spirit enabling us. We're entirely dependent upon your care for us to shine out Christ in this community. We're entirely dependent upon you to help others in our family or in this church as they go through suffering. And God, we want to make sure that you are exalted, that Christ is exalted, that people would see the great treasure that we have in your grace towards us. And God, that the riches of that would just continue to be heaped out and people would see your great riches of mercy, of grace, and that you would be exalted by that. We want you to be lifted up, Lord. And I pray that you will do a work in our lives as we go from here tonight. Help us to take this simple truth and use it for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.